And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Hope your Sunday is going great. Before we get started, because Dr. Wayne's here, Lexi's here. Do you either one of you guys know why today, Sunday, this is one of the most important days of the year? Not just the day of the week. It's very important. Any clues?
Is it your birthday?
Not my birthday. Whose birthday?
I don't know.
Oh, Dr. Wayne. Dr. Wayne Lesperance, of course, from New England College. Now, today is Flag Day. It's also the birthday of the finest fighting institution ever known on the face of the earth, the most moral men to pick up arms in defense of their nation. Of course, I'm talking about the birthday of the U.S. Army, Dr. Wayne.
Oh. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, you had to do it. I'll give you that one. Of course, Dr. Wayne Lesperance over at New England College. You can go over there and find out more about Dr. Wayne, of course. And those of you who remember the Saturday morning show we used to do continuously, Dr. Wayne was a regular guest on that. I don't think we've had you on this show too often. I know that we try to get you on when I do fill in for Jack, so that's always fun when we get a chance to talk to each other. So what I thought we would do, and Lexi's going to join us on this conversation, we're going to talk about politics. And we're going to talk about it non-judgmentally is the best way I can do it, because there's a lot of things going on out there. And, of course, social media is going to be one of the elements we talk about that. But, you know, Lexi, I was watching you this week, and you and I had a conversation about politics, and we don't talk about politics generally. Just tell me what you're thinking right now when you look at the world and the world of politics. Just say that, because I want Dr. Wayne to help you and other people as we walk through this conversation, because we're going to have this conversation. Looks like we have a little audio problem with the phone. So, guys, bear with me for just a sec. I'm going to go ahead and make some adjustments. So keep talking, and then let me just go ahead and figure this out quickly.
Yeah, sure. So it's funny. As soon as you mentioned politics, you just had half of your listenership just shut off the show. So hopefully they hung on for long enough for to hear you say in a non-judgmental approach. The only analogy that I can use is if you took all the politics and all of the opinions and all of, like, everything and put it into a snow globe and you just picked it up and shook it around, that is exactly the analogy that I would use for what is happening in my head when it comes to politics right now. Because, you know, I had mentioned to Jeff, I am not a political person. I'll be the first to admit I'm not someone who will go around touting my opinions, because, frankly, there's so much misinformation out there that I don't feel like I'm educated enough or informed enough in the political realm to have not necessarily a conversation, but just to be able to put my opinions out there, because I'm still struggling with formulating an accurate opinion of what's going on right now.
Yeah. And Dr. Wayne, I mean, you have a whole host of students. You also talk about this continuously with other radio stations as well and other TV stations. Lexi's not alone out there.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I mean, the irony is that we today, human beings today, have access to more information second to second than human beings ever in the history of our race ever have had access to. And so, you know, when Lexi says there's just so much coming at her all the time and it's conflicting and it's confusing, she's 100% right. And lots of people, I would argue the vast majority of people in this country, feel that way. And so you want to do something. You want to do the right thing. You want to be informed. I mean, we just heard Lexi say that. She wants to make intelligent choices. But how do you do that in an age where, depending on the channel that you watch or the newspaper you pick up or the latest meme that your friend is sharing, you've got so much conflicting and confusing information. I see it all the time. And you know what? If anybody tells you, whether they have doctor in front of their name or not, that they've got it figured out, they're lying. We don't. We are all dealing with the same thing. I find myself, you know, in moments when I really shouldn't, seeing these memes on Facebook from friends of mine, right? My brother does this all the time. And having to tell him, this is nonsense. You need to stop sharing this stuff. This is made up. Or this is an 8-year-old story that you're sharing as if it's a current fact. And then I say, what the heck am I doing? I don't have time to be doing this. So the fact is, yes, what Lexi's experiencing is legitimate, it's real, it's common, so you're far from alone. I think the trick is to decide, you know, for yourself that you want to figure it out, and, you know, to identify those sources that are reasonable, that are honest generally, and take the time to sort it out, whether it's on an issue that you care about, whether it's on something that's going on in your town or your state or your country, and try to just focus in. But it's time-consuming. It requires effort. There's no one place we can go other than to the Jeff Chittister Show on WGIR, where we know everything that's shared with us is fact-based and true, right? There's just not this one website you can click on and say, okay, now I know this is going to be everything that's right. And that's the hard part. It requires work. And not everybody's got the time or the energy to do that. And so that's the trouble in the times that we live in. We've got to figure out a way forward that allows us to become informed citizens, active citizens, and working in the right way. And there's so much working against that right now.
Once again, we're talking to Dr. Wayne Lesperance, of course, over New England College. And we're going to talk a little bit about New England College and kind of in the latter part of our segment, too, because it's such an interesting institution, one of my favorite institutions. The students that come from there are just whippity slick smart and in the world. And you'll never hear that phrase ever again on any other radio station.
I'm looking it up now.
That's a new one. I haven't heard.
So let's talk about the presidential race. So I would remind people that I am an opinion person as well, but I try to be a fact-based person as well. And I would remind everybody, too, that I'm not shy about saying what we need to be thinking about with this election. So let's look at the world we live in. And I do want to talk about the current events right now and how they are affecting the presidential election. So we have Trump is technically the nominee and Biden is technically the nominee, and we won't find out true until the convention's over, but let's not try to cause any confusion there. They are the nominees. When we look at both of these candidates, Dr. Wayne, one or two things, if they were sitting in front of you, what would be one or two or three or five things you would say to each one of them that would benefit them for potentially winning in November? How's that for a question?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I would say that some of this would be the same for both of them. And that would begin with, you know, our country is in a tough spot. People are afraid. There are a lot of Americans that are facing, whether it's because of the pandemic or because of the unrest they're seeing, they're facing an economy that's in trouble. They're not sure that the things that they want to do with themselves, their families, being able to afford to send their kids to college, send their kids to school, making sure their kids are safe when they go out, making sure that there are jobs waiting for them when it's their time to enter the workforce, you know, wanting all the things that you and I want, all of us want on a daily basis in our neighborhoods. They want safe communities. They want clean air, clean water to drink. There are just basic fundamental things that we take for granted that we want to continue to see happen that aren't guaranteed anymore. And this is an opportunity for real leadership to step forward and say, not platitudes, but say, you know, I recognize that these are things that have to be addressed, and here's what I want to do about that. And really lay it out, you know, and all too often what we get are the platitudes. What we get are the distracting quotes about, you know, what this group says or what that group says. Leadership is taking a stand and then working towards fulfilling that stand. And I think there's an opportunity for both of them. So in the case of President Trump, I think he's the president of the United States. He has the largest bully pulpit in the world. He has an opportunity to put a message out there and to get folks to try to rally behind that. I think what hasn't happened is he has not fully and effectively used that pulpit. I think he's allowed himself to become distracted by his advisors taking him down rabbit holes he doesn't need to go down. I think if he could reset himself, his presidency, and really focus in on a leadership role, identifying those two or three issues that folks really care about right now, how are we going to be safe through COVID? How are businesses going to be able to survive and make it through COVID, especially small businesses? I think he could articulate some things along those lines that would be reassuring to folks and it would bring them along. On the other side of it is Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden. I think Vice President Biden has to resist the temptation to get pulled too far to the left. For all those Americans in the middle that are looking, and these are the folks who are going to make the decision in November,
right,
whether or not Donald Trump doesn't fully represent them or not, whether or not, you know, they were Republicans, but maybe they're more moderate or even more liberal Republicans, the folks that conservatives would call rhinos these days, the old Reagan Republicans. Those folks are looking for a home. There are a lot of homeless Republicans these days, and there's an opportunity for Biden. But I'll tell you what won't happen. They won't go over to him if he goes too far to the left, too far down that progressive agenda line. So he's got a trick he's got to navigate as well. So I would encourage him to speak to those folks, to engage the folks in the middle, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, because that's really, you know, the heart of America. That most folks are not extreme liberal, not extreme conservative. They're not diehard Republicans, diehard Democrats. They're right in the middle. They don't really care about politics, like Lexi, right? They just kind of want to live their lives, and politics is kind of an inconvenience. Recognize that. Engage those people and talk about how you're going to make their lives better, and how you're going to make it possible for their kids to go to good schools and get good jobs. I think that's the way forward. And you know, right now what we see is both parties kind of pitching to their base, going to the extremes and moving further and further away from that middle, and that's not a recipe for success.
I'm glad you said both parties. And once again, we're talking to Dr. Wayne Lesperance. Many of you who listen to the used to listen to the old show on Saturday mornings know that we love having the doctor on and picking on him, because usually we have the chef on at the same time, too, and then the conversation goes into football. So sometimes
it's a
conversation. I'm not going to say a thing. I'm not going to say a thing. But, and Lexi, you can hop in as well. The thing I like about New England College is that you have such a diverse population of students. And so I'm going to bring up a lot of things that some people are going to feel uncomfortable talking about. And remember, there's a distinct difference between the three voices that you're hearing on this. So remember that it might be Jeff saying something, and it's Jeff trying to figure out what the other two are thinking about this. So I'm going to say this. I have felt during this whole, unfortunately, with the George Floyd situation and BLM and us looking at police reform, I'm concerned that when I listen to the president talk, there's no empathy. There's a complete disconnect of how the tone should be, respecting the police officers, but also respecting that there's need for police reform. I think that the president, once again, President Trump, has missed a huge opportunity to show empathy and be a uniter. I'm going to throw that statement out to you, Dr. Wayne. Correct me, expand, but I think it's important because your student base is very keen on that as well.
Well, yeah, for a couple of reasons. And I would agree with you, by the way, in your assessment. New England College is the most diverse institution of higher education in northern New England.
Yep.
36% of our students are students of color. So you don't see that at very many other schools, and that's in New England. And that's a pretty something we're very proud of. So, you know, my constituents are students that come from a variety of different backgrounds who've had very different life experiences. So, you know, that's part of what I think makes my college special and why I like to work where I work. But to your point, this is the party of Lincoln. This is the party that freed the slaves, the party of the Emancipation Proclamation, the party that, you know, has a great, rich heritage, history of doing the right thing with regard to systemic racism and prejudice and discrimination and slavery. And for the president not to see this opportunity. So let's call this what it is. Whatever your feelings are about, you know, the defund or the defend the police, let's put that aside for a second and focus on what we saw, what we all saw on video. Mm-hmm. We saw the public execution of an African-American man who was subdued by men who were sworn to protect and defend all of us. And that was shocking. And I think what we're seeing as a result of that reflects the shock of that. But for someone like me who sees this as, oh, my goodness, this is an aberration, this doesn't happen, that's my own naivete coming into place because it happens all too often. And, you know, whatever the excuse, whatever George Floyd's lifestyle was, whatever criminality he might have engaged in, it doesn't matter. Nobody deserves to be snuffed out on video that's shared on national and global television for everybody to witness. Nobody deserves that. He deserved due process. He deserved a trial. He deserved justice to be meted out accordingly. And so, you know, for the president not to immediately seize on that mm-hmm. and say, this is unacceptable. This is not who we are as a nation. Everybody gets due process. We don't just execute a man in the street. We don't. And that was a missed opportunity. To then do the other things that happened, the clearing the mob, you know, or the rioters or whatever you want to call them, the protesters, to get the photo op with the Bible, which just looked incredibly awkward. I mean, Jeff, you do this all the time. You study the, you know, these kinds of activities, and to see how awkward he was standing there with the Bible, what was the value of that? What did you get for that? And what was the expense of that, the cost of that? Using the U.S. military in a law enforcement capacity, completely inappropriate, completely wrong, not consistent with our values. So I'm looking at our president who has this amazing opportunity to manage this in a different way, And his instincts, whether these are his or his advisors, were just all wrong and have been. I would say that his decision to change his position on the campaign rally on Juneteenth in Oklahoma is a good one. I think that's smart. He's come around on that one. That's good. I think, you know, there are moments when I've seen this president actually get this right.
Yeah.
But this isn't one of them. He's kind of, you know, with this handling of the George Floyd case, he's just not been where he should be as a president and helping to lead us all to reconciliation. And you know, what's wrong with saying, you know what, if there are racist policies and practices, this is the United States of America, equal protection under the law. We don't believe in that. We're going to fix that.
Absolutely.
Get out ahead of it. He had every opportunity to do this, and instead he went a different way.
And once again, we're talking to Dr. Wayne Lutz-Prantz. Lexi's with us as well. And I want to frame a few things here too, guys. Most of you do recall that I'm a former police officer. So I do have some other elements that I talk about when I talk about this case. All my police friends were horrified when they saw this video. We're not even sure. That's not what we call a technique. It's not anything taught to any of us. And now we're finding out that it was a standard hold in Minneapolis, which is unfathomable for me as a police officer. The other thing is that we've had people on, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Minneapolis is not an accredited police department. And there's only 8 accredited police departments in New Hampshire, and you can point them out because of their professionalism, and they don't have incidents like this because force continuum and how we handle ourselves within a community are all addressed through accreditation. And I find it fascinating that that hasn't been part of the conversation either. But to your point, Doctor, and Lexi, you can hop in. I think one of the problems that bother me is both sides. And while I'm going to say sides, just like you did, the extremes on both sides have both become tone deaf to the entirety of how we should be speaking to each other. And that's what I'm kind of concerned about as well. But that always happens.
Lexi. Yeah. So I was actually going to say, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even know accreditation was a thing. So you don't know what you don't know. And finding that out that, you know, there's police departments that, you know, there's an opportunity to be accredited and a lot of them aren't. I don't understand that. I don't understand why if there's an opportunity to be accredited, why they wouldn't go do that, because that seems to be holding, you know, police officers at a higher standard. Now, I am very appreciative of law enforcement. I don't agree that, you know, and I think, you know, what we've talked about is what we're hearing right now is extremes from both sides. And I think, you know, I'm part of the middle group where I think the majority of people stand, but where we're hearing the most voices is the extremists. And so where I stand is I'm almost threatened or intimidated by, you know, people voicing such extremes without listening to the other side that I think it shuts down the middleman where, you know, we're, and again, I can only speak for myself, but I'm afraid to actually say anything or ask questions, you know, on an online platform because I feel like someone's going to jump down my throat for either not agreeing with them or, you know, it just has become such a divisive society right now. And I just don't think that's the reality. I think that's what's projected in the media. But I think, you know, to Dr. Wayne's point, I think the majority of people are right in the middle trying to figure it out. And I do think that, you know, there's an opportunity out there, whether you're Republican or Democrat, to unite people right now. And I think it's needed more so than ever. And from what I'm seeing, you know, portrayed in the media, that's not what's happening. And I think, you know, we need more of that. And I think, you know, listening to the other side and trying to understand is an opportunity right now versus just saying, you know, this is how it is or, you know, doing certain things that, you know, Dr. Wayne mentioned Trump has done. I just think, you know, I can't think of a better phrase other than saying there's an opportunity right now that we need to capitalize on.
There is, once again, and this is New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. We're up against a break, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and let Dr. Wayne expand upon that and also talk about his students in this new age that we're trying to deal with on so many levels, not only just politics, but education as well. So, Dr. Wayne, hold the thought on responding to Lexi, and we'll just take a real quick break, and we'll be right back on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. As always, thanks for taking time out of your day. Don't forget to catch my weekly article, Seacoast Online. We're back with Dr. Wayne Lesponce, of course, from New England College. We love having him on. I can remember all the conversations, Dr. Wayne, you and I had in 2015. And you and I went back and listened to some of that audio. You and I were one of the few people that said, hey, if you keep your eye off the ball here, Trump is going to win this thing. And everyone was like, nah. Not going to happen. And yet, over and over, you and I kept saying, guys, you're missing something here, and you better be careful. It's not like we were rooting for any one candidate, because you and I don't technically root for candidates. But
right.
But now here we are once again back into this, and everyone's like, oh, Trump's out. He's gone. And yet, it's not that easy. So I want to talk about, you know, a lot of people are talking about the George Floyd situation just being the final straw in many different areas. And we look back in 1965, 1968, 1992, major upheavals of social consciousness within a large part of our population. And yet they didn't really necessarily transfer to being a key component in an election. However, many people believe with the element of social media being added into this year, this could be one of those times when, in fact, a social movement pushes the election to a certain direction or outcome. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the big question. So in political science language, we call that a realignment election, right? Mm. When some major events or series of events happen that change public attitudes significantly. So whereas folks might have voted another way, one way, in the absence of that event, that event has caused them now to change their minds and decide to do something differently. And, you know, we haven't seen that very often. I mean, things like the Vietnam War had an impact on that. Things like the assassination of John Kennedy would have an impact on our country. Major events, even 9/11 had a limited, but had an impact on the turn of political events. But the question is, we're now in June. The election's in November. Mm-hmm. Will we still be talking about this come November? And frankly, I don't know the answer to that, because the attention span of the American people is very, very limited. We're kind of like ferrets. I mean, the next shiny object goes bouncing by and we chase after it, and there we go. Think about just how little coverage there is on TV these days of even COVID. Remember, that's right. All we saw, wall to wall, and that's even faded. Yep. At the end of the day, with the American people's attention span being fairly short, ready to move on to the next thing, you know, who knows what comes up between now and November? I mean, Jeff, imagine that there's a crisis in the Middle East, or imagine that the North Koreans, you know, test another missile. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine, you know, any number of scenarios that'll happen, and it happens in October. This conversation we're having will be a very, very distant memory. Unfortunately, because I think there are real issues that need to be addressed here. But as you know, we tend to chase the next shiny object. So it's hard to say. And I think that's something we've got to get a handle on, because there really are issues at play here that we should be looking to our leadership to address.
Right. And I think in the summer, too, people tend to fall asleep, not you and I, but people are, and in this year, they really do want to walk away from politics. Lexi, have you ever heard of New England College, Lexi, by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes, of course.
Perfect. So, Dr. Wayne, tell people the foundational reason why New England College actually was founded. It's a very special institution.
Yeah, it's something I'm very proud of. So NAC was founded by veterans and for veterans returning from World War II. After World War II, we saw the initial opportunities of the old GI Bill, where former service members could get some federal aid to help pay for college. And so in this part of New Hampshire, there were a lot of veterans who didn't really have an outlet. They didn't want to go to Boston. They didn't want to go far away. They wanted to stay in New Hampshire. And Boone Tillett, the person responsible for our founding, way back in the early 1940s, said, you know what, why don't we have a school here for veterans? And so the first class of 11 students, all men in the first class, and the second class, women joined. I'm not so sure that wasn't the men saying, hey, we'd like to have women join us, as much as it was anything else. But women joined, and we were off to the races. So NEC was an institution founded for veterans returning from World War II to give them educational opportunities and to, you know, start a life with a college degree. So that's our founding. I mean, it's a shame, because it's one of the stories I'm most proud of, but it's so is not very well known, and it's something we have to do a better job of telling. But yeah, that's the founding of NEC.
And I love the fact too, Dr. Wayne, and Lexi, is we're going to have Lexi come in and talk a little bit once again from the middle of this conversation, people who get overwhelmed. But the one other thing I did, I love the statistic that you gave me, and I don't want to belittle the statistic, 36%, right, of your population.
Right.
And that doesn't happen. I would venture to say that even a lot of institutions where they're pulling a student base from that opportunity, they don't hit those kind of numbers. And I think that's really kind of rich. So, Lexi, once again, this is Politics and College 101. You had an interesting thought as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious, you know, we've talked about social media in that regard, and I've just seen this more so now than ever. I mean, I stopped watching the news about a year and a half ago, and frankly, it's the best thing that I've ever done. But every time I kind of go back on to peek, you know, and I've obviously peeked on every now and then with COVID and, you know, with everything else, I kind of get, you know, just once you start to see, you know, the media kind of swaying opinions, and like you said, we're all kind of like ferrets with that short attention span, and it just goes on from the next, you know, the next sexy thing to the next sexy thing, and you know, it's almost like whack-a-mole a little bit. I find that, you know, and I mentioned this, you know, a few minutes ago, going online, you're almost like intimidated because, you know, now you're seeing, you know, both extremes being voiced, and rather than listening to the other side, I mean, people are obviously hiding behind their keyboards, you know, just spouting out, you know, hateful things. And I'm just wondering, from what you've seen, you know, do you feel like the middleman is kind of being shut down and forced to, you know, just not voice their opinion or just, you know, side with because you know, I had a really decent conversation with someone, you know, not too long ago who had differing views than I did, when it was a very civil conversation, and I was able to learn from that person versus, you know, watching these, you know, going down the rabbit hole of, you know, reading comments and, you know, just, I mean, I'm horrified by the way people are treating each other online. And, you know, obviously that's a whole other sociological, psychological experiment in itself. But I'm just wondering, you know, how can the middleman kind of get their opinion or learn more and without having, you know, just something thrown back at them and just saying point blank, you're wrong because, and I hate you because I don't agree with your opinion.
Well, you know, I'd say that what you're experiencing isn't unique to you at all. Everybody has some version of the story that they've either seen it or they were a victim of it. So there's a couple of things at work here. One, people are much braver behind a keyboard than they would be if they were standing in front of you. For some reason, when we log on via our devices and interact with people, we somehow lose our sense of civility, our decency, and the kinds of things that you would say about a person you would never say if you were standing in front of them, or you know, or you rarely would you say them. So there's that. I would say that you're not alone at all. My good litmus test on this is my mom. My mom isn't a political person. My mom has a lot of ideas and very strong feelings, and she's got a lot of strong values, and she taught me a lot of those things. But my mom is not a confrontational person. She'll put things out there and, you know, her thoughts on things, and then she gets horrified when people push back or really attack her. And, you know, I usually get that call on Sunday evenings and say, did you see what so-and-so? And usually it's another family member. Family members. So you're not alone at all, right? So what I stress to my mom and what I would stress to others is pick your friends. Pick your friends in social media. You don't have to let everybody in. Jeff and I are friends with everybody, basically. And so we've got all manner of perspectives, and those who are very much similar to our views and those who are very different from our views. Jeff and I have probably disagreed a time or two, and I hope it was a civil disagreement. I'm pretty sure it was. But the reality is you get to pick your friends. You don't have to let everybody in the sandbox with you, and you can decide, you know what, these are the people that I trust, that I respect their opinion, whether they agree or disagree, and I know that they'll be respectful of mine. The worst case scenario is when someone is afraid to ask a question because they don't want to be jumped on.
Right.
And that is where you're stifling.
Yeah.
You're stifling people.
Yeah.
And I love the way you put that. Sometimes I'm afraid to even ask something. You want to learn. You genuinely are curious. You want to know more. That's exactly what we all should want, right? And to be afraid to put that out there because you know there are people that could jump on it, that really is stifling, and it's unfair. to you. And to anybody else who would read your question and the answer and learn from it, they're also losing out on it. So I know this is hard, but I would say we all have to pick our friends a little bit more carefully for these conversations and sort of, you know, I guess I'm a big fan of this notion of avoid toxic people to the extent you can't keep them out of your
100%.
Life.
100%. And well, so I'm sorry, Dr. Wayne. I'm just curious as to where and when it started. I mean, I'm sure on some level it's always existed, but I've noticed more frequently in the last couple of years that now it's a situation where people aren't listening, and it's more, you know, if you disagree with me or my political views, I instantly hate you. And I don't know where that's come from. I don't remember it always being like that. I always remember being able to have differing views, and sometimes it might get heated. But, I mean, you don't instantly write someone off for having a completely different opinion, and now it just feels so polarized where, you know, I've heard it and I've seen it written saying if you support Trump, you're instantly racist. And it's like, whoa. I have some friends that are Trump supporters, and I feel pretty confident saying that these are not racist people.
Right.
So I just don't know where this has come from.
It has been around a long time. I mean, I can think back pretty much most of my adult life and find examples of that. But what I would say is it's certainly much more frequent. It's much more vocalized now. It's much more, you know, it's certainly much more common. And so, and it's much more accessible. Whereas if those conversations are happening someplace and there's no social media, you would never know about it. But now it's all over your Facebook page, your Twitter feed. You know, you can't avoid it. And I think what we're seeing is we are a country very much divided. We are a country that is becoming increasingly divided. We don't reward the moderates. We don't reward the people in the middle. I mean, think about the Republicans or the Democrats that are squarely in the middle and the pressure that's on them to get out, right? They're either getting primaried by their own parties and they're being replaced by more extremist candidates, or the folks aren't voting for them. You know? And so the folks in the middle are really are getting squeezed from both sides. Whether it's in a conversation on Facebook, whether it's at the ballot box or in any walk of life, I would say today we see our country probably the most divided it's been since, you know, 1861.
Absolutely. And once again, Dr. Wayne Lesperance, of course, sorry about that. All right. New England College. Of course, this is New Hampshire Day Weekend Edition. We've actually run out of time in this segment, and I think I'm going to ask Dr. Wayne and Lexi to stay over for the last segment so we can kind of bring it down to a different tone. You also, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Wayne, you know, just you and I having this conversation, and you and I have been involved in conversations online and on the radio, I will get hate mail from this conversation. And it's not going to be pointed at you. It's going to be pointed at me for allowing this conversation to say, you know, I happen to think that both the far left and the far right are doing a disservice by not having people I'm not one of those people who believe that walking the middle of the road is necessarily virtuous. I think that it's a valuable part of the conversation because generally we are a centrist country when you start putting everything together. You tend to see people fall on policy points on both sides. And I think that's the unfortunate part about it. And as I said, it is interesting. So we'll take a real quick break, come back, finish this conversation. I'm actually going to shift it a little bit to lighter tones and let each one kind of finish off. But I also want to talk about some silly little things and show people that we are human. We'll take a break and we'll be right back on New Hampshire Today of the Weekend Edition. Jeff Chittister, Lexi Letty, and Dr. Wayne Lesperance from New England College.
I was hoping that wouldn't consultine years, but the eye roll at things that Daddy says, and so there's also a look I get when I suggest things like I can't wait till COVID's over because we're gonna do the family trip to the Civil War battlefields and, you know, and learn some history, and I get a certain look for that as well. So she's quite the precocious 8-year-old. She's our only kid, so she's exposed to a lot of, I guess, you know, grown up thoughts and conversations about history and politics and all that. She's got her favorite candidate posters all signed, of course, because she's a kid in New Hampshire in her room. And so, you know, she went from, in 2016, from Carly Fiorina to now she was a Tulsi Gabbard fan. So,
oh, nice.
And I'm pretty sure Tulsi was her, she liked Tulsi because she reminded her of Moana from the Disney movie. So there's that. I'm not saying she's the most sophisticated voter, but she's definitely got her preferences.
Something tells me she might have the same sophistication as a lot of voters out there. Just putting that
yeah.
out there.
Well,
don't underestimate your gut, though. I'm a firm believer in gut, as somebody who's been kind of all over the place sometimes with candidates. And then, of course, you know, Lexi, I got to tell you, I saw a picture of Petey, you're the wonder dog, tromping around in a puddle. Why would you let your dog do that? That's the worst thing for a dog.
So I think the key word here is let's. I mean, he pretty much does what he wants to do, regardless of whether I say, Petey, come here. There's no, you know, he does what he wants. So we're out in Parsons Field in the back there, and he just kind of takes off, and I let him go. And I, you know, I didn't really have a time to kind of go get him, and he just dunked his head in, and, you know, it was a messy afternoon for sure, so...
You know, it's funny because the reason why I bring up both of those things, because I guarantee you, Dr. Wayne and Lexi, because I'm going to tell my story here, that those are probably your more popular posts, aren't they? Because I know you posted
100%.
When you posted your report card up for Gracie, and then when you posted the dog jumping, Petey, the wonder dog jumping around in the puddle, the likes were through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
yeah. Oh, it's true.
I think. You know, human stories are significantly more popular because, again, I think politics starts to become noise. And I think, you know, people hopefully gravitate towards more positive things because I think it allows them an escape from just some negativity. So when you're posting, you know, a good feel story like Gracie's report card or, you know, my dog dunking his head in muddy waters, I mean, it just takes some, in my opinion, provides some instant relief for... Oh, you know, like our society isn't all terrible right now. Like there's some good stuff out there.
Oh, yeah, all that other noise.
Yeah,
go ahead, Dr. Wayne.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's absolutely true. But I think the other thing related to that is we've all been trapped in our homes. I mean, the conversations you normally have when you run into somebody at the farmer's market or at your office, you know, you don't get to have those. So, you know, how's Gracie doing when, you know, you don't get to talk about that when they see it in a picture? It's great. So, I mean, I think people are craving just human interaction. And, you know, Facebook and those pictures are help with that.
It is true. And a lot of us, you know, I posted my famous Chitters to Shipwreck, the drink, up online.
Yes.
And just people went nuts about that. And people who normally scream at me that I'm an idiot, just like, what's the recipe? And I'm like, well, you want the idiot to give you a recipe to a drink? Got it. So, hey, before we leave... Before we leave too, Dr. Wayne, I'm going to have you back on, and I want to talk about the Civil War because that's what pushed you back and I talking to have you come on this weekend. But I wanted to talk about something different than the Civil War. But so when we talk about that trip, I mean, how do you explain the Civil War to Gracie? Because I'm a Northerner, all right? My family fought for the North, and they were Catholic, and they joined for the specific reason that all men were created equal. They joined to end slavery. That's why they joined and split away from Virginia. But when you talk about the Civil War, how do you frame it for her?
Wow, well, she's eight, so there's some limitations at this age. But, you know, we talk about this in terms of our country getting to a point where the North and the South disagreed over a very important issue. And that was, you know, how do we view... these human beings that look differently from us. And so for my daughter at eight, you know, talking about this as a social justice issue resonates with her because she goes to school with kids of color. She goes to a school, she has a classmate that has an obvious visible disability, a student is missing an arm. And you know, differences are, at age eight, you're beginning to notice differences. She's beginning to notice differences. And, you know, it's how do you address the humanity of an individual rather than what they might look like? She's, you know, at eight, you don't know what they're picking up from all of the stuff on TV, but she's picked up on it. Dad, why did that black man get killed? You know, and just the question, you know, referring to him as a black man was interesting to me. And so when we talk about the Civil War, we talk about it as an issue of social justice. We'll get to conversations of states' rights when she gets older and to understanding the sophistication of, you know, the Constitution and all of that. But what I want her to come away with is that sometimes important change is very hard. And in our country, we have a great tradition of Americans standing up and even losing their lives in support of this idea of America. And we have a lot of veterans in our family. Her grandfather is a disabled veteran. two of her uncles are disabled in terms of as a result of fighting the war on terror. So she's familiar with some of these difficult issues that we have in our family as a result of service. What I want her to understand is that service was in the idea or in the defense of an idea that is America, and she's getting that. And mm-hmm. So I think that's how I would approach it at a young age. And you know, when she's older, we can have the fun conversations that you and I have. As a Southerner, you know, we jokingly talk about that being the War of Northern Aggression, right? You and I have had a lot of laughs over that, but at the end of the day, that comes when there's an ability to appreciate a little bit more, with a little more sophistication, that war. For now, I want her to understand that was a struggle for humanity and decency.
And so let's do this, Dr. Wayne. Let's commit on the air that before July 4th, because we'll do our special show to honor July 4th and the importance of Independence Day. Before then, you and I should have a show where we talk about the Civil War, and let's break it down. As I said, I tend to have certain passions about this. I don't think you should be tearing down memorials. I think you should use them as educational opportunities. That's me. That's Jeff talking, the shiny ferret over there. But I also, you know, you and I had you were unfortunately involved in a conversation this week where I said, look, I think current military institutions right now should not, forts and bases and camps should not be named after Civil War generals. I just think that there are better ways to handle that. And I'm not trying to discredit history, but that's another conversation you and I have to have, because I still feel that way. I don't think there's going to be much of a chance for me to break away from that. But I also don't believe in tearing down statues either. So,
I don't disagree with you on the forts. I guess I get concerned when I read an article about, you know, UNH, the Franklin Pierce School of Law having its name changed, things like that. You know, you shouldn't whitewash history. We should accept it, you know, warts and all. You know my favorite president is Thomas Jefferson.
Correct.
Talk about it, a deeply conflicted individual. So we've got to come to terms with that. But, yes, I'm happy to commit to Jeff. I'm on anytime you need me to be. I enjoy our conversations. And I love that we have Lexi involved. So let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, let's do that. So we actually have come to the end of the time. I tell you, this is the fastest show because we have so much fun. And we're not yelling at each other. Did you notice none of us yelled at each other? And I guarantee you we have different opinions on a lot of different things.
Amazing.
So, Lexi, thanks for joining in, and you did a wonderful job. So you were a little bit frightened, but Dr. Wayne's the perfect person to help us with politics because he's got so much integrity. He's so much fun to talk to because he does have a good sense of humor too. Dr. Wayne, New England College. So a couple weeks we're going to do the Civil War. We'll talk about that, and then until then, everyone have a great day. All right.
You too. Take care, all. Take care.
I'll talk to you soon, Lexi. And don't forget, check me out online and also LFOD.
This has been New Hampshire Today, Weekend Edition with Jeff Chittister on News Radio 610 at 96.7. We'll be back next week. And don't forget to tune in to New Hampshire Today with Jack Heath, Monday morning from 6 to 9 on News Radio 610 at 96.7, New Hampshire's news, traffic, and weather station. Out here in the-